accept your apology. You're suspended for 60 days. We need someone to take your place. We need Shauna Flair.
It's Doc-a-mania.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episodic adventure. It's Doc-a-mania. I'm your co-host Dez, here with my Heart Foundation brother, J-Bum. Say hello, J-Bum.
What's up, man? What's up? You got enough snow where you are?
Yeah, well, we're not that far apart. Come on, buddy.
Well, I got like, how many feet did you get last night?
How many feet?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, maybe 1.5, 2 feet.
Yeah, okay,
but
me
the,
too.
But the plows are, you know, they're packing them off the street. So, man, like at the end of this morning when I woke up, my car was half buried. But then because the plow, they packed all the snow at the end of my driveway and it was a bitch to take out today. And yeah, it took me about 1.5 hours. It wasn't fun, but I got to work from home today, so it wasn't so bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't have, you didn't move your car. I wouldn't have moved my car if I was working from home.
Well, I got to get it out because I got to drive anyways. You know, I drive to work every day, yeah. So... but it wasn't so bad. I took out all the snow out of the driveway and then I kind of just backed my car off with all the snow on it and then just like knocked it into the road that way, you know, cutting corners. Somebody else's problem.
Not bad. Yeah, man. Shitload of snow. I got stuck this morning shoveling. I was like 50 minutes late for work, even though.
Oh, you should see this guy's house, man. He's such a lazy bum that he doesn't even shovel his stairs. So his stairs just like complete front of his house is just covered in a mountain of snow.
Why?
He just goes into the garage.
Why would I ever shovel my stairs if I don't use them?
I get it, but it's not very inviting, I would say.
Good. Apparently, it's against the law. I was told today that it's against the law. Whatever. Sue me. Fuck off.
You're told by who?
Actually, my parents. They were like, did you clean your stairs? I was like, no, Mom. She's like, it's against the law.
I knew it'd be your mom, yeah.
Because I asked her,
Jason.
I'm like, what are you clearing your stairs for? Who cares? You don't use them. You use it to go through the garage. It's against the law. What, if cops are going to come arrest me? Good. Fuck them.
It's not a law. It would be like a statute or a bylaw or something. It's not like they're going to throw you in jail for it.
No, but you'll get a fine.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're talking about the definition of law here. It's not, it wouldn't really be a law.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You got me. So.
All right. So opening up, we were talking about, I called you my heart foundation brethren, right?
Yeah.
So we were talking, I mean, geez. Huff Foundation, there was some news coming out a few weeks ago that they're going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. I know you were super big on Bret Hart and the Hart Foundation, and we never really shot the shit on this. So what were your thoughts? Because a lot of people are salty about this, the fact that the Hart Foundation is going in with Bret and Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and not, I guess, the entire faction itself. So what do you think?
Well, I think that the Hart Foundation is going in as the tag team, the Hart Foundation. So to me, it totally makes sense. They don't induct stables.
Factions.
Yeah. So DX isn't in there. NWO isn't there. I mean, if they were in there and then Hart Foundation only went in Bret and Anvil, I'd kind of be, you know.
What's up with that?
But since they're not, I'm okay with it. I mean, I'd love to see Owen in there, but I get what they're doing. Jim just died, so I get it. And to see Bret Hart go in
so
twice.
Owen Hart died like 20 years ago or like a very, very long time ago. So what?
But
a difference
there
here.
Was
a difference.
Well, there's a big difference in the sense that he died in WWE and then there was all the controversy surrounding it. So I think that there's still time for that. And I think that Owen's wife has a big part of him not going in. And I think until she kind of, you know, comes around, it's going to be like that for a long time.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. No, it's funny because we were talking about this, and when I heard about it, I was a bit salty because they're putting the Hart Foundation in. And for me, that was a loophole to potentially get Owen in there without directly, you know, putting Owen in there. And I know his wife was always causing a stink and, you know, won't have him involved with anything WWE, which is, you know, sad. Even the Hart family, Bret, is very vocal about, you know, the widow being the way she is and not letting Owen take his rightful place in the Hall of Fame, which he definitely deserves. So I was a bit salty. Also, with Brian Pillman not going in there, I think it'd be a great time to put him in there, and also British Bulldog as well too. But, you know, when you put it that way and how they're really focusing on the tag team itself, I mean, the Hart Foundation tag team, it is Bret Hart and Jim Anvil.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to me. I mean, there was Bret, there was Owen, you know, there was Davey Boy and there was Owen. But, you know, when you think about the Hart Foundation, I guess, you know, first and foremost, it was these two. And, so and for me, it makes sense. I think it's going to be good for Jim the Anvil. It's going to give Bret Hart another ring, too.
Yeah,
so it'd be
buddy.
Cool to see him.
And what about Jimmy Hart? Jimmy Hart, apparently, I heard, was in there, too.
And Jimmy Hart, yeah, he's going to be in there, too, as the manager, as the voice, the mouthpiece. So I have to think, knowing Bret, I mean, he's got nothing to lose at his age. He's going to say something about Owen.
Well, for sure.
I'm pretty sure during this induction, saying, you know, if I had my way, I'd have my brother Owen up here with me. He was just as much a part of the Hart Foundation, along with Davey Boy Smith and Brian Pillman. Yeah.
He's going to be there all alone. That's going to be sad.
Dude, for me, they were one of the best factions. And I'm not saying like the tag team, the Hart Foundation itself, they were amazing. They were so good.
Very good.
Oh, maybe I'm biased because I, you know, that's my era, but no, loved it.
Hart Foundation versus DX, the original DX, with China, Triple H.
Yeah, Shawn. Even the Nation too. There was some great feud going back and forth.
True.
Yeah. You have any fond or memories, I guess favorite memories of the Hart Foundation or Bret or Jim, you know?
I just the promo that he cut when he told Owen that he'd always been there for him his whole life, and British Bulldog was in the ring, and then the beginning of Bret Hart and the Hart Foundation against the United States. I think that's one of the greatest feuds from the Attitude Era. I think it had a lot to do with the Attitude Era to really kick it off, not kick it off, but to really bring it to the next level. So I don't know, man. Anything between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart during that era was fucking gold. So
yeah, I just liked every time the Hart Foundation would just like come out to the top of the ramp.
Yeah,
and all four or five of them would be there. They'd have the flag coming, and you know, they'd have the tag team titles. Owen with the slammies,
Bret with the world championship.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Like they were such heels in the U.S. and then heroes in Canada, which was so awesome. And then vice versa for DX and Shawn Michaels. And it's just, I mean, they didn't stop at anything. You know, Shawn crotching the flag, shoving it up his nose, laying on it, telling everybody to suck it. I mean, it's just so fucking good, man.
Yeah, it was good. And then when DX got the Nation to attack the Hart Foundation because they said that they had said something racist. They said the N-word, what? And then they like run and they have a big brawl, and Michaels and Triple H are just like watching like, ooh, yeah.
It was all good. I don't think there's any bad parts of it. That super kick to Bret Hart in the wheelchair, it's like
one of my favorites,
iconic,
yeah.
Iconic.
And Bret screwed Michaels on that because he kept talking through TV. Like it was supposed to happen right before TV went off the air, and he missed his cue, and he kept talking. And Michaels got so mad because of it, because he basically played with him and screwed him. And that led to one of their big brawls backstage where Bret basically ripped out a chubby chunk of Shawn Michaels' hair, which kind of led to his beginning of his receding hairline there. So remember the story. If you listen to Bruce Pritchard, he has the story, the inside, all about that, and a lot about the Hart Foundation backstage with DX, Shawn Michaels. Really cool. Definitely check it out. We're Canadian. Hart Foundation definitely has a good place and a solid sentimental place in our hearts. So representing this week, Hart Foundation.
All right, Des, tell our listeners where they can find us on social media.
All right. Well, I would be more than happy to. Make sure, guys, follow us on Twitter, @_Talkamania, on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcastic kicks. We're there. TheChairShot.com, FullPressCoverage.com, TheDailySmart.com, BlogTalkRadio.com, BodySlam.net. Check all those out, guys.
And as always, our partners over at World Wrestling Manager, check them out. Download their app on Twitter @WWManagerGame. And of course, our friends over at Full Press Coverage, @FPC_Wrestling. Don't forget to check out our prediction show and pre-show for Elimination Chamber live this Sunday.
Baby.
5:30, and you can check that out on Full Press Radio. If you want some merch, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/talkmania. And if you're into vids, check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/talkmaniacs.
Yeah.
What? All right, let's dive into this. It was another week in WWE wrestling that was a bit lackluster, but we're going to try and make it as interesting as possible. The talk of the week, of course, again, is Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Ronda Rousey. We saw Charlotte implemented, no, not even implemented, she's replacing Becky as of right now in the WrestleMania main event against Ronda Rousey. Dez, is this lazy storytelling, or is this actually the right move to make?
Well, I think we knew, or we were hoping it wasn't going to happen, that Charlotte was going to be thrown into this triple threat. So for me, I was hoping it was just not going to happen. Now that it's inevitable, it's going to happen, I try to stand back and think, well, why? Why is this happening? I have to think that they're protecting Ronda Rousey, because if they're going to go into the main event and have Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey, well, they're going to boo Ronda Rousey to hell. And that's not what the WWE wants. It's not what the McMahons want. So not only are they finding a solid place to put Charlotte at WrestleMania main event, they're putting her in this match, having her draw all this heel heat. That way she'll share the heat, or it'll be more focused on her. Also, if Ronda loses, well, Charlotte can eat the pin and Becky can win, or, you know, Charlotte can pin Becky. So we'll see what happens. So now I've come to the conclusion this is going to happen. So let's see. How are they going to do it? Is it going to work? And for me, okay, I'm not happy with it, but it's all right. It's all right-ish. Because think about
this. Ish. Ish.
Yes, ish. This is very similar to the whole Daniel Bryan, tons and tons and tons of adversity coming your way, having to overcome obstacles, and then, you know, making your way to WrestleMania and having that moment. I think Becky's going to obviously get her way back into this matchup. You know, the WWE's not stupid to some degree when it comes to certain things. We saw that this week with Raw. Becky opened and closed the show. It was an attempt at a ratings sandwich. They know that she's the number one talk of the, I guess, the WWE. So they're putting her in an opening, give her the whole episode to think about an apology, which I thought that was kind of stupid.
Lazy.
Apology thing. Yeah. And then her backstage getting advice from certain people and, you know, like she should be tough and not giving a shit, but, you know, it's kind of, and then she apologizes in the end, which is like, okay. I mean, she's tough. You know, she maybe could kick some ass or did something instead, but she apologized, and then even after apologizing, they made her look stupid because it didn't even pay off. McMahon comes out, doesn't accept the apology, and throws Charlotte in the mix. So, mixed feelings there. But we were talking. You came up with a pretty interesting idea on what should have happened. Why don't you share?
Well, I don't think she should have apologized. I think that was a little bit silly. I think that, you know, if they were going to remove her from the match, at least have her hold face, you know, either attack Triple H and Stephanie. Fuck, give Stephanie a stunner if you want to compare her to Stone Cold. Or just give Becky a move that can be pulled off quickly like a stunner. Or even just have her roll her and put her in the disarmer. I don't give a shit. But to have her apologize and then take her out of the match is kind of, I don't know, like a lose-lose. I get what they're doing. I don't think it's the right move. I think if they can kind of, I guess it would be kind of ripping off Daniel Bryan too much to make her go through Charlotte and then Ronda. I get that they want to protect Ronda, but I think Ronda could come back from a loss. I think Ronda could come back from going out at WrestleMania as a big heel. I think she can come back a face. I mean, we've seen a million other wrestlers do it. It's really not a big deal. I don't know. I just feel like it could have been done every other way but this way. However, like you said, we knew it was coming, and I guess now we could sit back and watch where it's going to go. You have to assume at Elimination Chamber, Charlotte's already said she's going to be there, front row, watching Ronda versus Ruby. And I would assume that the man's going to make an appearance as well.
Yeah, she already hinted on social media as well, too, that she'll be keeping an eye on the match, or, you know, having to do something about the current situation. But I remember when you told me about that, like, you know, she goes back at the end of the night, and then instead of an apology, or she gives an apology and then, like, stuns them, that would have been, crowd would have, oh, they would have lost their shit.
Unless the stunner sucked. That's the only thing. And that's a risk.
I know, and I actually went back and watched her do it to James Ellsworth, and she did it to Charlotte Flair about a month ago on tour. It wasn't that great.
Well, see,
so, you know, you need to put that, Stone Cold calls it the stank.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that kick and, like, that jump midair twist that he kind of would pull off, you know?
Only he could do it.
It's robotic. It's usually robotic when everybody else does it, and they put too much thought and time into it. But I was also thinking McMahon could have came out instead of being like, I don't like your attitude. I'm taking you out. The Royal Rumble meant absolutely nothing in hindsight.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been cool if, like, he apologized and Triple H and Stephanie are like, all you have to do is apologize to us and we'll be okay by our books. And then the man walks out and he's just like, apologize? Champions don't apologize. That shows weakness. And clearly you're too weak to go to WrestleMania, you know, and something like that. You know? Like, it should have been a trap. The apology should have been a trap.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, like I said, any other way but the way it happened. But it did happen. I think that they can come back from this. I think that if they give us a good story, even though they're going to protect Ronda and keep this mainly between Becky and Charlotte, if they can tell that story leading into WrestleMania, I'm okay. If they just keep Becky off TV and make this all about Charlotte and Ronda for the next, you know, 60 days, and then Becky all of a sudden comes back in, you know, a week out from WrestleMania, I think that'll be a failure. And I think that'll lose the interest of the main event, to tell you the truth. That's just me.
Well, like you said, we know where they're going now. Now let's sit back, you know, accept the fact this is the direction they're going, and let's see how they do it. I didn't mind the Charlotte Flair promo on SmackDown.
Oh, man. You know, she looked good. She looked good, man.
People were tweeting that out. And yeah, she definitely did look good. But she also sounded good. Her mic skills are always good. I'm not saying she's the best, but pretty good.
I think it's safe to say.
I like the promo.
Charlotte is awesome. Charlotte would make a great main event. Charlotte's a huge draw. It's just Becky was going to be a huge draw. So why not use Charlotte as a huge draw in another match? Like, where does this leave Asuka? Where does this leave the SmackDown women's title, which I voted as the best title of 2018? And now it's an afterthought? Like, unless we get Io Shirai coming up from NXT to face Asuka, where does that poor, poor woman stand right now?
I know. And after putting on an amazing match, the Royal Rumble with Becky Lynch, both women delivered, but, you know, Asuka has that chemistry. She brought it and helped bring the best out of Becky Lynch. And yeah, she really has been an afterthought. I don't even think they played the promo this week of Asuka, like, backstage, or they did that like the last week or two just to kind of keep her relevant. But I guess they figured there's no match for her at Elimination Chamber, so they're just going to skip over it. But, you know, I understand that maybe a week, 2 weeks, you don't want to, you know, remind us that she made the man tap out and take any thunder away. But not having her there since the Royal Rumble, what's up with that?
Yeah. There's no point. But realistically, what are they going to do? Like, all the women right
now. There's time.
Yeah, but
They can.
It's not going to be a great match. Like, sorry.
Who knows?
No,
maybe they'll have a call from NXT. Okay. If they do a call from NXT, it could be really good.
A good match, yes. Okay, but it won't be a good story leading into WrestleMania. And come on, give us one pay-per-view where you have good stories for every match. Just one.
It'll be WrestleMania.
No, I know, but if Asuka just shows up, if somebody just shows up to challenge her from NXT, let's say, unless they bring them up a month before.
I get it. I feel you. However, relax. We have Fastlane, and then we have WrestleMania. We have, I believe after Elimination Chamber, they'll probably be like, okay, breathing room. We've done some stuff. Now, you know, we can focus back on Asuka. They're probably just, you know, taking this month to... You know, I don't know.
Am I saltier on Asuka than you are today?
I'm happy she has a title. I just, you know, I don't know. Fuck, man. I'm going to see her, so suck it.
Yeah. You should ask her then. Who are you going to face tonight? When are we going? Yeah. The day before WrestleMania? Yeah. Be like, so, do you know your opponent?
Maybe I'll challenge her. I'll challenge her at WrestleMania. Fucking bring it.
Okay, well, let's talk about Elimination Chamber. Just to remind the listeners, this Sunday, 5:30, Full Press Radio, Dez, J-Bomb, we're bringing you the pre-show. You guys can call in live. We'll be tweeting out the number. If you have any questions, obviously, we'll read them live on the show. So hit us up. But let's talk about the Women's Tag Team Championship match. I think it's really the only real takeaway from this pay-per-view. Apart from that, there's really... I don't even know the other matches on the card. We saw
they haven't really talked about them too much.
No. We saw a few more things on Raw and SmackDown. Who do we got? We got... Becky, Bayley and Sasha Banks are going to be starting it off for Raw. And
one of them, yeah.
Was it Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville over on SmackDown?
That's correct.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
To me, they're the final four.
I don't think it'll be the final four. That'd be a little bit too predictable. I honestly, like, for me, it seems so obvious, even from months ago, this is going to be Sasha Banks and Bayley's match. I feel like now that especially they've been playing the chase, Sasha's been injured. And she actually hasn't wrestled since Royal Rumble. And that whole whole angle of her being injured or getting beaten up last week and Bayley being the anchor and Clutch coming through. And then this week having her being injured as well, too, and being taken to the back. This not storyline. She actually had not been fully cleared to return and take Impact. On Monday, she was partially cleared and she was able to take the bump on the outside. But today she was actually cleared. So if they are playing on that shoulder angle and it actually was real, very likely it could have been caused by Ronda Rousey at Royal Rumble. You know, the way she gives those kind of judo throws, always kind of hurts the person's arm. They did it to Alicia Fox. Same thing happened to Alexa Bliss. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe she's going to pop Ruby Riott's arm out of her socket this Sunday as well. But those two are playing the chase. They're going to earn it. They're going to go in first. And I think they're going to go the distance, in my opinion, and win it. If not, it's going to be Nia and Tamina, yeah. I think.
I was just about to say. To me...
Did you see the promo those two did this week?
They're all bad.
Dude, go back and watch it. I had to watch it. Yeah, and like Tamina tries to talk three times.
Yeah.
And Nia just like looks at her and shuts her up. And Tamina keeps giving like these like eye rolls, like awkward, like,
It's bad. I think they've all been bad. They're all kind of like non-kayfabe interviews. Like even the Iconics were a little bit more like genuine about their journey. Anyways, I think you're right. I think they're going to be the journey women in the match. I think they're going to go right from the beginning all the way to the end. But shit, especially with what happened with Charlotte being put in that match, I could just see Vince being, you know what? Fuck you. Nia Jax, Tamina, it's The Rock's fucking cousin. Nia Jax seems to always be breaking these boundaries and winning these first evers, and I think they're just going to give it to her, man. I think that they feel like...
they very well might. That way, kind of... Because, like, honestly, like, I really think it's been foreshadowed that Bayley and Sasha are going to win these titles for months now.
I agree.
So I'm not, like... I'm not super excited for this match. I'm excited for it, but I'm like, I kind of know what's going to happen. Nia Jax, you know, maybe Vince McMahon's going to pull a fast one on us and make Bayley and Sasha have to go the further distance to WrestleMania. I still think that Bayley and Sasha might defend it against Lita and Trish, like they had mentioned months ago. But who knows? I don't know. Tamina being the first women tag team champion in God knows how long. I don't know about that. You see her splash last week on Raw?
Her splash every week is just terrible.
It gets worse and worse and worse.
But
so, I don't know. I really can't... I don't know.
I agree with you. It would be horrible, but I just see it happening. Like, I just...
Imagine the Iconics just walk away with the tag team title.
I don't know. I feel like they need... You need to go... You need to look forward. And I think that they want to have, like, this dominant... I think WWE just loves these dominant runs of... big fucking people who can't be beaten, and they're going to give that to Nia Jax going forward. That's just my opinion. If it's Bayley and Sasha, is that what I want? No, I'd rather Mandy and Sonya. I think they could do more with the titles than Bayley and Sasha. Bayley and Sasha, they're already fine without them, if you ask me.
Yeah, but I feel like they've really contributed enough to the women's, I guess, revolution the past few years that these two seem like, I guess, the right ushers, or the right people to, I guess, put the titles on the first time around.
Oh, I would agree, but it's WWE, so I could just see them being like, no, fuck them. They've done everything for us. Why would we reward that?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. They're in an Elimination Chamber match with these tag team rules, and...
how many botches? Yeah, I don't know. How many botches do you think we're going to see?
Yeah, we'll see a couple.
Who's climbing the cage?
Who is climbing the cage?
I mean, Naomi's going to do some shit.
Maybe the Iconics are going to get scared and want to climb up it to get out.
I could see them staying in their pod.
Yeah, they're totally going to stay in their pod.
And then Nia Jax is going to smash through it. And Naomi's got to do some sort of catwalk on the side. And then it's going to be, I think there's going to be a lot of botches. I really, really do. And I'm kind of looking forward to seeing, it's going to be a bit of a train wreck.
We'll see.
All right, let's talk about the men's Elimination Chamber match. I don't know how much there is really to say about this. We saw the New Day get thrown into it this week. And my question is Kofi Kingston the guy who's going to be, like, who's in the chamber?
You did not watch SmackDown.
Yeah, no, I watched the Gauntlet match. They chose him for the Gauntlet. That doesn't mean he's going to be the one in the chamber.
No, he was the guy who was in the Gauntlet. Yeah, it's all the participants for the Elimination Chamber. So, yes, Kofi Kingston is in the gauntlet. And I was wondering, like, you know, who should do it. They picked Kofi last time for the ladder match.
Big E, man.
And, you know, I think it could have, any one of them could have been interesting. I kind of was pushing for Big E in this one. I think he could have been a more interesting competitor. I think putting him in this kind of matchup would give him the chance to kind of like remind us that he can, you know, come to and play as a singles competitor as well.
Yeah.
But mind you, I didn't mind Kofi going in there. And dude, the guy put on a hell of a showing during the SmackDown Gauntlet match.
Did you enjoy that match though?
I mean, I enjoyed the fact that Kofi was going the distance. The fact that he beat Daniel Bryan, I was like, no way. That's awesome, man. That'd be cool, you know, if he could pull it out and beat Samoa Joe. And then he did. And I'm like, wow, awesome. And then at that point, I'm like, okay, well, you know, I think it's... Or no, he beat Jeff Hardy second. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And then he beat Samoa Joe, which I was like, okay, cool. At this point, you know, he did his job, feather in the cap. And I kind of thought that he was going to at least take out Daniel Bryan, because when you put, you know, somebody into the match, you want to highlight that he can be a threat, right?
Right.
So I wasn't surprised Daniel Bryan. Jeff Hardy, I was like, okay. But then when Joe came out and was throwing him around, I'm like, well, that's it, man. Joe's just going to destroy him. But I like to see Kofi Kingston. He picked up a win off of three former champions. And his passion he was showing. A lot of people didn't like it. You know, you can't get the same thing every week. And I thought this was refreshing. And I didn't mind it at all. And we'll see what Kofi does. I don't expect him to win by any means. I still would have went with Big E. And had the same story maybe being told.
I would assume they picked Kofi just so he can jump backwards into the crowd of the five guys off of a pod. That's sure, got to be a spot.
He'll do some stuff, I'm sure, you know. But again, Mustafa Ali had some injuries. He had to be taken out of the match, unfortunately. I think it could have been really exciting to have him in there.
Yes.
I would definitely still take him over Kofi. But, you know, good for the guy. He's been around a long time. And to show that kind of, I guess... I don't know, aggression and competitiveness and desire that he did. It was cool. It was good. And then AJ Styles, you know, picking up the win, eventually making him tap.
Yep.
I was okay with that. And then Orton picking up the win was really lazy.
I don't know. I liked it.
I thought it's stupid, man. You know what? If Orton wants to impress me, like, go out and have some matches. Like, he comes in, he does the RKO out of nowhere, which is cool. I like it. I get it.
You knew it was coming.
Isn't there supposed to be a ring bell? Like, okay, next match, stand there, go. But no, he just kind of comes in, RKOs and pins him, and I don't know, he comes out of nowhere. He didn't have to work at all, and he just Kofi Kingston busted his ass for what, an hour or however long was in that match,
yeah.
And then Randy Orton just walks in and RKO. It's lazy, and that's all Randy Orton has become.
I'm okay with it.
Just that RKO.
It means you see less of him, man. And if we could see less of Randy,
okay,
I'm okay with it. And I think SmackDown had to end because it was like RKO, boom. Little SmackDown logo in the corner and it was over.
Well, that's how you also knew, right? It's like out of nowhere, but it's like we knew that's what was going to happen because of the time.
And also because of that, whenever WWE does that close up for a second past awkwardness, know it's coming.
Yeah. And here the crowd start going like, oh.
Exactly.
So who do you think's going to walk away at the chamber with this one?
I just because they made a belt out of hemp, it's got to be Daniel Bryan. And also, I have to imagine when he does eventually lose that someone's going to hand the new champion the leather belt back. I can't see, like, I don't know. Let's just say...
Will they burn the hemp title belt?
I don't know, but let's just say it's John Cena. Okay, let's just say it is. And John Cena holds up his, you know, 17th or 18th or whatever the fuck it is.
It's not going to be the hemp title.
It won't be the hemp. So it can't be inside the Elimination Chamber because who's going to hand it to them? Because they're inside of a chamber. So that's literally what I'm basing it off of. So Daniel Bryan's going to retain it. I think we might see a return at Elimination Chamber.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Oh. And I think we're on the same page here, my friend.
Yeah.
So again, I think that he will retain the title. They've made it clear that, you know, this is a new title. They put the effort into it. They contacted Etsy and said, can you make us a championship belt? And they're also going to want to sell this as merch. If they aren't already.
Oh my God, who's going to buy that?
There will be people who buy this.
It's hideous.
I know, but there will be. And that's all right. It's not my favorite
belt. It's like half the size of Daniel Bryan, though. It like goes up to his nips.
The regular one is, too.
I know.
But yes, I think in this match, I think Daniel Bryan's going to retain, and I think somehow there'll be somebody under the ring or something, and I think we're going to see the return of Luke Harper.
It's going to be Harper or
Sorry,
Wyatt,
Harper.
Right?
Harper.
It's going to be Harper or Wyatt, one of the two. And I think if Harper comes before Bray, it does more for Harper. So I do hope it's Harper as well.
Yeah, well, he has returned. He's been cleared to return. He was backstage at SmackDown. You know, I thought maybe he was going to come out during during the match, the main event or the gauntlet match, but they didn't. Didn't make sense. I understand that. But then when they threw Rowan out, I was like, oh, maybe Harper's going to come out. But, you know, no. But he'll be back soon, which I'm excited for. And I don't know if they'll be the Bludgeon Brothers, but apparently he's going to be on tour with them too in the next week or two. So we'll see if we find out any more news in terms of the live shows. Maybe he'll be tagging with Rowan or doing something, or you know, maybe we'll only find out this Sunday at the Elimination Chamber.
I'd be down with Harper and Rowan being the henchmen of Daniel Bryan. I don't want to see them as the Bludgeon Brothers. I didn't like that shtick, so... okay, and the last match is worthy of talking about at Elimination Chamber. Shit, we should just throw in our predictions at this point. Are we? Are these the predictions?
We're talking. Let's do it. I mean, why not? We're going into Elimination Chamber. We're bringing it up. We're talking about it. Why the fuck not?
Okay. Well, then let's just go back real quick. The women's tag team match. Are you going to go with Bayley and Sasha?
Yeah, I have to imagine Bayley and Sasha are going to win this match.
All right, I'm going to go with Tamina and Nia, just so that we're conflicting. And then for the men's, we're both agreeing on Daniel.
Yeah.
Okay, and then, okay, Ronda Rousey versus Ruby Riott. First of all, is this match going to be even good? That's the question I'm asking.
It really depends on who does the driving. I have to imagine that they trust Ruby to go in there and say, hey, have a match with Ronda and talk her and guide her through it. And if they give them the right time and they just don't make it kind of like an ass whooping on Ruby Riott, and Ruby actually has a quote-unquote chance or believable chance, I think this could be a really good match. I think it could be a really good match for Ruby Riott, and I think it could be a good match for Ronda Rousey to wrestle with a little bit less stress because, you know, no one expects her to lose her title against Ruby Riott. I think it's more of like a, you know, preparing her for WrestleMania and, I don't know, just kind of strengthening her. Like, Ruby Riott's really good to work with. I think she's going to make anybody look good, potentially. So this is a test to see if Ronda can hang with Ruby and how good Ruby can make Ronda look. So... match itself, I think, could be interesting. I'm interested to see how Ruby hangs with Riott, with Ronda and what happens here. However, I mean, no brainer. I really think Ronda is going to retain.
No.
I don't see any chance in hell she's going to be dropping the title or losing it to Ruby Riott. But the match itself does interest me. I think it could be good. You could have the Riott Squad on the outside. Mind you, they're going to be in the Elimination Chamber match. They might be sore and not there, which kind of plays into the fact that she doesn't have her backup. But we know Charlotte's going to be the ringside.
That's it.
We know Becky's probably going to make an appearance. So I don't know if that'll be, you know, during the matchup. It might distract Ronda a little bit, maybe a false finish. But yeah, and Ruby, man, I liked her a lot. We've talked about how she's kind of like a hidden gem. Not even a hidden gem. She's a gem.
Yeah, she's a gem.
And I just don't like her finishing move. I don't like that Riott kick she does. I find it really soft.
Yeah.
I think she should go back, or she should be go do her senton, her diving senton, similar to what Akira Tozawa does. However, she does it facing the other way. And every time she does that move, or what, did she do it facing the other way? She does it both, I think. But either way, it's like, go online, watch her doing it. Watch her do it. It's a pretty badass senton, just like an anchor, just like boom, stage dive.
I think it's pretty safe to say Ronda's going to win it. I think the most interesting part of that match, I just don't think that Ruby and Ronda are a good matchup, to tell you the truth. So I think the most interesting part of that match is going to be, you know, Charlotte, if she gets involved, or Becky, or if the Riott Squad's around. I think it's going to be kind of, I don't know, one of those matches that's not really like... technical, and it's gonna be more of a spectacle than anything else. But
well, I think the pressure's on Ruby Riott to carry Ronda or help her make this match look good, and I think that's kind of what they're leading on. Similar to with Natty in the beginning, they put them together, and Natty was kind of a mentor. I think Ruby can kind of act that way too. You know, she's definitely got the experience, and she's good in the ring. So hopefully, she could bring the best out of Ronda, and both of them use it as an opportunity to make themselves look good.
Yeah, that's it. All right, worst match on the card time. There's a few. they're equally tied, so I'll just go with the first one. The Miz and Shane McMahon versus the Usos.
The Usos.
Yeah, I mean...
I am somewhat excited for this match, just because it's against the Usos. It's a real tag team match. You know, there's no hiding. They're going to bring it. And I wasn't too thrilled with the whole McMiz TV angle this week. It wasn't that great. I find Shane can hang with the superstars, man. Like, he tries to be cool. He tries to cut the promos.
He's not
and
good.
It just, and it makes Miz look lame, too. So, I don't know. I'm not really enjoying the whole Shane and Miz thing.
The McMiz? You don't like McMiz?
The McMiz. Nah. I obviously won't last too much longer because they're going to be, you know, fighting at WrestleMania. So what we hear. But I just felt like when they were doing the promo back and forth, they both kind of like, both teams kind of got just got caught up a little bit. And I don't know, they weren't on their A game. The super kick, double super kick was nice. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know, man. Like, I'm not, they won the tag team titles, and I'm not excited for their segments every week. And
I told you, it's not an exciting match. The Usos are awesome, but against The Miz and Shane, it's like, who fucking cares? So,
yeah.
I'm just going to predict the Usos, because I want them to win.
Yeah, well, I want them to win, too. And what makes me really sad is I don't think they're going to win, and that's the disgrace, because they're going up against a tag team that's wrestled one time together, is it? They wrestled once, I think, together.
And Shane is not a wrestler. Titles. So.
And Shane is not a wrestler, and he can't really even hang with the guys when it comes to promos. You know, I like Shane. You know, he does his spots, and he can be interesting to watch, but I don't know. It's kind of a joke, the tag team title picture. It's playing into a longer-term storyline with The Miz and Shane, fair enough. But the Usos being a casualty, really disappointing. I hope it's a DQ, but, you know, maybe not. It's going to be the Miz and Shane are going to retain.
Okay, Miz and Shane, they're going to retain.
Yeah.
It rhymes. I'll take it. We got Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin.
I feel like I've seen this so many times.
Like, new matchups, right? Hold on, new matchups. Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin. Bobby Lashley versus Finn Balor. Like, both these matches.
Make this like a last man standing or like a gimmick match. Like, then I might be a little bit more interested to see what Braun Strowman could just do to Baron Corbin. But just having a singles match, like, either Baron's going to get into self-disqualified or Braun Strowman's just going to squash Baron Corbin. And I don't know. I think the match itself will be eh. It'll be one. I hope it's one of the first matches on the card just to get it out of the way. I don't know what Braun Strowman's road to WrestleMania is going to be. If it's with Baron Corbin, that's quite sad. But I mean, come on, Baron Corbin, Braun Strowman—they're not going to have him lose against Baron Corbin. So absolutely. Braun Strowman's definitely going to pick up the win here.
Yeah, I agree. Braun Strowman match I really don't care about. Another match we don't care about: Bobby Lashley, Finn Balor. I really don't want Finn to win. As much as I want him to be the IC champion, I just think it's really, really shitty to give it to him at Elimination Chamber. I think it's going to be, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a great match, but maybe the next match and the next opponent for Finn Balor will be, you know what I mean? Like, the next feud for Finn will be good, and if he has the IC championship, it'll make sense for that feud. So maybe that's cool, but really, I don't know. I'm going to go with Bobby Lashley winning this one, too.
Cool. So we have Bobby Lashley. I just want to put a footnote out here. It's actually a handicap match. So it's Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush versus Finn Balor.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So I don't know if Leo wins, if he's the Intercontinental Champion. It would be funny if he did and he claims to be, but I'm pretty sure it's Bobby Lashley. You know, he'll retain the title versus Finn Balor. I'm not entirely, you know, this is a little bit more undecided because I'm trying to think of the long-term picture here. So what's going to happen for the IC title at WrestleMania? And you were saying, well, this is a bad time to give the title to Finn Balor at Elimination Chamber. Might be best to do it at WrestleMania finally at long last. And I think that could be a great place for Finn Balor to win the Intercontinental Championship.
I agree.
However, there's one man that's going to be returning who has his eyes on the Intercontinental Championship. And that one man is Kevin Owens.
Mm.
We saw the promo this week. He was doing some bowling. It wasn't they could have done a lot better on that promo.
Confusing. I think we could say it was confusing.
Yeah, it was confusing. It seemed like he was going to give us his plans and what he was going to do, and then his turn came up and he threw a gutter ball. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. And people were saying he looked great, and I think he did look great. But I thought the picture of him at the autograph signing, he actually looked like he lost more weight.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if, like, either A, he gained it back, or B, when did they film this? And maybe they filmed it a while ago, and then that's kind of the promo they had, and they're like, okay, well, because they want to surprise us when he comes back, and he looks a lot slimmer.
Or it was just a weird angle, and he had he looked like he had a super long neck in that photo. I know.
Well, he shaved his head, so it looks like it. But yeah, we'll see. But he's coming back, right? And I know one of the things he always wanted to have at WrestleMania was a match with Sami Zayn or his best friend in the locker room, Finn Balor. So these guys have had amazing matches in NXT. I think these two could tear the house down at WrestleMania. Hey, maybe they have a triple threat with Sami Zayn or a four-way with Bobby Lashley. I hope not. We'll see what happens. But, you know, this could be a good pay-per-view for him to win the title, then hang on to it through Fastlane, and then KO comes back for it, you know, going into WrestleMania. Not exactly sure here, but I have to go with you here. I have to think that Bobby Lashley will pick up the win. Finn Balor's kind of been getting the better of Lashley and Leo Rush every chance he's gotten, and I could see Leo kind of working in Bobby's favor. They throw him in the match to make it more believable. So yeah, Bobby Lashley, I think, is going to retain. I don't think now is the time for Finn Balor to walk away with the IC title.
Sorry, just yawning because Bobby Lashley, Leo Rush. All right, last but not least, it's going to be on the pre-card. Bobby, Buddy Murphy versus Akira Tozawa. I don't know how many times we have to fucking watch this goddamn match or these two goddamn people fight for the same friggin' title over and over and over. I don't watch 205. I tried this weekend. This last night. I got about 13, 14 seconds in, and I was just like, Lucha House Party, no. So I'm just going to say Buddy Murphy because he looks cooler than Akira.
All right. First of all, poo on you. 205 Live is pretty cool, and I'm an advocate for it. I will say, sit here and say, hey, guys, always check out the matches. I know it's hard. You don't know when it's on. It's on WWE Network sometimes. You can watch replays. There is some stupid stuff in there, but sometimes they have some really damn good matches. The Fatal 4-Way or whatever match they had at Royal Rumble was so good, guys. It was so good. One of the best cruiserweight matches I've seen all year. Yeah, it was fantastic. So check that out. I like Akira Tozawa. I like his senton off the top rope, the hang time he gets, and just the weight that comes down on it. Buddy Murphy's phenomenal. I think this match will be very, very good. A lot of people probably won't pay attention to it because it's on the pre-card. We'll probably be doing our live show when it airs at the same time. But we'll be watching it live. We'll let you know what happens. And I do have to believe, though, Buddy Murphy will retain. I think he'll retain probably until at least WrestleMania. So it'll be a great match. I think, you know, it'll surprise most. Maybe even J-Bomb if he chooses to pay attention and watch it. Probably won't happen. But the match will be good, and Buddy will retain.
All right. And that is our predictions for the Elimination Chamber. There's only six matches. I guess.
Well, there'll probably be another match thrown in there. Like we saw Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev after SmackDown. They threw this thing on WWE.com or WWE social media, Twitter, where Lana's basically backstage talking with Rusev and Nakamura saying, hey, you know, we have differences, but we got to be on the same page. And they basically kind of buried the hatchet. And Lana says, I have an idea. We're going to, you know, we're going to do big things together. So to me, it's like, why did you break up Rusev Day? Because they're basically, they could have just kept them with Aiden English, but it's kind of like a rinse and repeat, different partner.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least we'll get more of Nakamura. Maybe these guys can end up being funny. We'll see.
You know who was funny? But, Rusev Day.
Yeah, Rusev Day was great.
So who cares?
Those were the days.
Those were the days. The day has come. Everything we talked about last week concerning the Raw tag team titles was poo-poo that came out of my mouth because the Revival won the tag team championships this week on Raw. Now,
yeah. Well, it's funny. Remember I said last week this was going to be it?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. You got it. It was horrible. I had a whole bunch of ideas and everything was going to happen. No, none of it. They just gave it to him.
No, McMahon's like, what? You're leaving? No, what do you want? The tag team titles. Well, I'm not going to give it to you. Go out there. Just wait. They lose their match. It's like, okay, well, now I'm going to give it to you. It was my choice, though. You didn't put my arm behind my back and twist it. So I kind of knew it was going to happen. Good for them. It'd be funny to see them lose and run like next week, and then that's it, you know?
It'd be funny
to have them troll like that. But the Revival won. Dude, these guys chased for so long. They finally won those tag team titles. Good for them. Gable and Bobby Roode weren't really doing it anyways for me. I like Gable. I want to maybe see him now, you know, feud with Roode. I hope he stays the good guy, not the bad guy, because, you know, I like when the crowd is behind him. You know, this guy should have been Angle's son in hindsight. Jason Jordan's career is more than likely done at this point.
I got something for Jason Zordon.
Game over. We'll see. And all kidding aside, we hope the guy's okay. And if he can come back, he can come back. I wasn't a huge fan, but it always sucks to see somebody's career end.
He was fine in ring. He was a fine wrestler. Let's be honest.
I think because we were just like, we don't want this. We had the son, and like it should have went with Gable. It was all bad circumstances. So
just to tell you how much we like the Revival, we were talking about them, and then as soon as we started talking about Chad Gable and the guy that we should not mention, they became more interesting. I don't get the hype behind the Revival. I don't know where they're going with this. The only thing I want to see them do is lose to the Edgeheads at Fastlane. I don't even want to see you at WrestleMania.
Dude, why not, man? Yeah, I want to see it. Maybe, I don't know if we're going to drag it out to WrestleMania to have Curtis Hawkins finally get his win at WrestleMania.
I could see it being a fine
That's
pre-show.
A long way away, but maybe they have time to build it up over the next few weeks or whatever,
Actually,
I don't know, but...
Pre-show would be all right for that.
Yeah, it could be a good match to have them go, but like, I don't know, like have them on a pre-show and then they lose and then like, I think... I don't know. They should drive the story more on the main programming first instead of just throwing them on the pre-card, or else it's already kind of a waste.
Well, the Revival is a waste, and I don't care what anybody says. Come at me.
Okay, we're talking about wastes here, right? So Seth Rollins comes out this week, cuts a promo, red hot, fans love it, they're eating it up, he's nursing his back, he can't wait. Out comes Dean Ambrose. Gets in the ring. Goes over to Seth and says, slay the beast. Gets out and goes and sits on his chair. So, water under the bridge, I guess.
I'm telling you, Dean's leaving. There's no doubt
He doesn't care anymore. Apparently, he went off script. He was supposed to talk more about like their sentimentality of the relationship, and they go way back, and the respect, and he's just like, slay the beast, and he goes and sits out back, and like, yeah, clearly, and they're not really giving him too much the time of day. You can kind of see that he's, like you're leaving a job, and then you just don't give a fuck, and you're just, not answering your emails.
His two-week notice was handed in, and he's phoning him in at this point.
That's it. He's phoning it in. And then he took on EC3. He picked up a win. So I guess, they don't want to make him look too weak. EC3 picked up the win the week before. Now Dean Ambrose did. And, EC3 was definitely talking during his matches. We heard the voice, so he's not mute. But why are they having him win before he goes out? I get it. I think he should have won. I think Ambrose is the better of the two. But now it's like, yeah, EC3 got a win over Ambrose, but now he lost. Now where are we at?
Two out of three, bro. New matchups, guys. New matchups.
I guess. But then you have all these people they've called up now, right? And it's like Heavy Machinery. Didn't see them this week. I think they're on a dark match. Lacey Evans vanished.
Yeah.
And Nikki Cross, is she on Raw or SmackDown at this point? They said they're going to try them out to begin with, and she's still going back and forth. Mind you, I like Nikki, so I'm okay with that.
Everybody got really hard on that Nikki Cross Ruby Riott match, and they got super offended that they cut to Becky and Ronda. I mean, going into the match, I was really excited. I was like, whoa, Nikki and Ruby, this is going to be sick. The match wasn't good. Like, it was, people were like, it was a fantastic match. Why did they cut from it? It was like hip toss, punch, 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 hip toss, suplex. Hip toss.
I always find the ending too with Ruby Riott when she uses that her ignition kick, or I'm saying ignition kick because TJP basically has the same move, or in a sense he does the little bicycle kick to the head, a form of it, her Riott kick, and you can kind of tell when she's gonna do it. She's kind of just like, you can tell when the ref's like, okay, bring it home, and they quickly just go into some kind of like exchange where she hits it, and it's like super weak and soft, the kick. It's like, I don't know. Not a fan of it, man. I think it's like Gail Kim's move too, where she does the foot to mouth, or eat my feet, or whatever they want to call it. I don't like that move.
There's not really many moves that aren't soft in the women's division. Like, I love women's wrestling. I like it more than the men's right now. It's all I think about when I watch Raw and SmackDown. It's all I really focus on. But after watching a couple matches from the one that you sent me with Io Shirai and Kairi Sane, and watching some of the stuff down in, did I say that wrong?
No, perfect.
Some of the stuff that I watched out in NXT and some of the stuff in TNA, I mean, it's like a softened version of what women's wrestling should be. Like, they're amazing superstars. Let's just see a little bit more stiffness to those moves.
I want to see that too. I was reading online, like, people were talking about Sasha, like, oh, Sasha's coming back. And so many people I see every week, it's like, Sasha is the best of all time. Sasha's the best in the, not in WWE, the industry. So I have to believe these people don't watch wrestling outside of WWE, or they're just like, you know, I guess standing on her.
They love that entrance music. Or whatever you want to call it.
And her entrance music, I have to say, we talked about that previously. If she didn't have that music, she wouldn't be as much of a boss. Which is funny because she comes out, they play her song for 1 second, and then now Bayley's song plays. It should be the other way around.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. She's definitely not the best in the industry. She's not the worst. You know, I like to see her be a little bit stiff. But guys, go check out other shit. Check out the talent on NXT. Check out Io Shirai versus Kairi Sane. And, you know, there's so many great talent out there. And what's Gargano, Candice LeRae, the match she had with the Young Bucks. Remember I showed you that? Yeah. They had the thumbtacks. They put the thumbtacks on the shoe.
Yeah, some hardcore shit.
They super kick her. She's bleeding everywhere. Like, dude, these women are the shit. Oh, man, trust me. There is better than Sasha out there. Not to knock her. I don't. She's good. Respect to what she's put to this and given to this industry. She's not the best, guys. Come on. She's not the best.
No, she's not. So yeah, Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, it's still on. I was worried. We're going to WrestleMania. I was a bit worried that...
Why were you worried?
Well, I don't know. There was, you know, speculation that he was hurt. I could only imagine. I could only fucking imagine going to WrestleMania and not seeing Becky versus Ronda and not seeing Seth versus Brock. I'd be heartbroken.
Hey, maybe then we get Asuka versus Brock.
Dreamer. You're a dreamer.
She's wrestled some men. It's been interesting, man. She had some awesome matches against Tajiri.
Yeah, Tajiri and Brock Lesnar is a little difference there, but
yeah. So hey, man, let's talk about AEW. Yeah. What is going on, man? So they had their pre-sale, sold out almost immediately, and today they had their Double or Nothing tickets sold out. Was it like 4 hours?
No, 4 minutes.
4 minutes.
4 minutes.
4 minutes. 4 minutes.
I mean, reportedly 4 minutes. Who knows? But I guess it's safe to say that the hype is real. They could sell.
People are going to start saying, scalpers, scalpers.
Who cares?
They already sell a bunch on sale for like $1,000, $2,000. But you know what? Enough hype. And, you know, look at the arena's going to be sold out.
Dude, who cares if it's scalpers, bro? Scalpers could buy WrestleMania tickets. Scalpers could buy tickets to Fastlane. They're not selling out even from the scalpies. So I saw a lot of people pissed off. A lot of people... shouting out to Cody, pissed off that scalpers still got these, said that the pre-codes was a bad idea. Fuck off, guys. These guys, you can't stop it. It's the internet today. It's going to happen. But if it is 4 minutes, wow, that's fucking impressive, man.
Super impressive. Really excited for AEW. I'm not going to lie. I was thinking about maybe jumping on a plane, going to Vegas, and watching it myself.
Wow.
I have no doubt that Talkamania will be at an AEW show in the future. But, man, guys, we're going to be everywhere in the next, 6 to 8 months. We're doing NXT. We're doing WrestleMania. We're doing Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. We're trekking back to Montreal, and then we're going to do Raw for the Superstar, International Superstar Shakeup in Montreal. We're going to see how it is. We might do SmackDown as well, too. And then SummerSlam, Toronto. We're going to hit up that shit, too. So,
and you know,
we're gonna
you know what else
place.
Happens before SummerSlam, eh? There's also another NXT TakeOver.
Oh, yeah. In Toronto.
In Toronto.
Baby.
So that's a possibility. And you know what? Honestly, with the announcement of Chris Jericho's cruise, I was kind of looking into it, and then I thought, you know what? It's a lot of wrestling for us this year. Not that it's a lot of wrestling. It's a lot of money spent on wrestling. But guys, if you buy enough Talkamania shirts, maybe we'll go.
Yeah, we'll interview some wrestlers, and we'll do some crazy shit, man. We'll get drunk. We'll have a drink with Chris Jericho.
Yeah, and AEW is going to be there, which is really, really cool. So I'm sure it's going to be somewhere.
Yeah, no more Ring of Honor. They actually got rid of Ring of Honor this year, and they're bringing in AEW. It's going to be in January 2020, guys. Maybe Talkamania will be there. It's a while away, but we'll see. Again, we're going to be busy. We're going to be all over the place. Who knows what's happening? Maybe Talkamania will be no more. Maybe we'll do the WrestleMania trip, and I will kill J-Bomb and put him in my trunk and, you know, drive it off a bridge, because I got to spend a long time with this guy, man.
God,
you don't know what it's like. There's a reason we don't record in the same place.
That got aggressive. So other news with AEW, obviously everybody knows Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega!
Oh, I know. I think a lot of us kind of predicted it, thought it was going to happen. He's one of the, I guess, head honchos there, or he's got himself a fancy title.
Executive vice president.
So obviously, he was always planning to go there. He just had to keep it a hush because of his New Japan Pro Wrestling contract. And, well, I guess for the ticket press conference, whatever show they had on the 7th, I think, or recently, they wanted to have Kenny basically be like, hey. And it was really cool the way he debuted, too. For those of you that like Smash Brothers, when you unlock a character in Smash, basically you'll be playing a game, and after the match, it'll be like, a challenger's approach.
Is that like, what it was from?
It'll be like a silhouette of the princess or Luigi or whoever you're unlocking. And during it, it was like, a challenger approach. And it was a silhouette of Kenny Omega doing his, like, his bullet, his gun. And, dude, it was really cool, really well done. He comes out, cuts his promo, tells everybody this is where he's going to be. I think it's awesome. The guy's never done WWE. I think if I was him, this is the right move to make. Be that guy to never go WWE, because if he would go WWE, there would never be that guy. And I think this is just amazing. I think this is he's going to help AEW. I'm all for this. I'm all in. So really excited about this. And Jericho, Kenny Omega.
Well, that's it.
We're going to see this in May.
So they announced Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega 2. It's going to be awesome. I don't know if it was official that the Young Bucks are going to be fighting the Lucha Bros, but...
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I've seen the card so far. They're on there. And also, one of our best friends now...
Oh, yeah.
Nyla Rose. I don't know if you guys checked that out, but what, Smart to Death is the one who...
Smart to Death tweeted it out, and I thought that was very cool. We're friends with Smart to Death, so it's not like it was a complete random, but I was laying there in bed, and somebody tweeted us, and I looked at it and goes, I think somebody just used your podcast theme as their entrance music. And it was just cool that somebody else noticed it and it wasn't us. It was like, it was just one of those moments where it was like, oh, wow, our stuff is so...
They know our theme.
Yeah, exactly. They knew our theme well enough to recognize it.
The fact that they used it was interesting. So, yeah, you guys know our Talkamania theme. We play around with it. We make different versions every week. Theirs was edited a little bit too, but, you know, you listen to it. It's our theme, man. Nyla Rose, she is our kindred spirits from another planet or whatever you want to say it. So it's kind of cool that of all the songs that could have played, very strange and random. So I'm going to pull for this girl already.
And what's cool is she's the first openly trans woman in sports entertainment.
So she's our sister from another mister / our brother from another mother. I guess our sister from another mister.
I think she's politically.
We'll call it what it is. Yeah. Right, that's it, you know? But it's funny because he was actually talking on social media about this, and people were saying, Cody, you might want to put out a press release or something to the fans because a lot of them aren't, you know, they don't want to go because they're like, you know, they're afraid of transgenders and they're not comfortable with it and you shouldn't have that in your show.
Jesus.
And he's just like, he was basically like, really? Do we really need to be doing this? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, people should not be judging people in 2019. And, you know, if they want to be a woman, they want to be a man, power to you. Who gives a damn? And he got so much backlash that he actually came forward after and was like, okay, we're going to release a press release and we're going to talk about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they're going to make a statement on it. And then the people were saying, well, I hope you consult somebody from the LGBT community to when you come out with your statement. And it's real. Oh,
what the
on,
fuck?
Man. Everybody's so sensitive.
Dude, AEW like, has made it so inclusive and so politically correct. I mean, who was
no
it?
Pay
was
scale.
It
all women and men are paid the same. And
Sunny Kiss was there. I mean, there's so many people representing the LGBT in that community, in that company. If you're going to say wrestling is for everyone and Finn Balor is going to put a rainbow on his shirt and they're going to sell a bunch of merch that way? Bullshit. This is the proper way to do it. They're not trying to make money off of it. They're just fucking going with it. All right, that surprises me. I didn't know that. Yeah. That's kind of bullshit. Don't like it.
Yeah, so we wish Nyla Rose the best. Totally down for what this represents, what it brings to AEW. Good for them breaking down doors already. Going to be interesting to see the pay-per-view in May. If she uses our theme or her theme.
Oh,
or
I
our
hope
theme,
she does. It's ours.
We'll call it our theme. Yeah, yeah. And pretty cool, man. Hey, another thing, Batista, right? Remember he was rumored to be fighting Triple H at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
He came out. He did the Evolution spiel. Then Triple H got injured. Well, Batista was spotted with Jericho. They took pictures. They were hanging out. I'm pretty sure Jericho would get into Batista's ear and be like, dude, man, good money. You know, come over, do a show or two. So Batista would be a pretty cool name to have over there, too. So who knows? maybe Batista will be there as well, too. Or, you know, maybe he'll go to fight Triple H at WrestleMania. Not sure. But lots of speculation. People aren't sure what's going to happen. Dean Ambrose as well, too. His contract will be up in April. And in May, he might be a free agent that can't show up. And he's from Vegas, guys. So, who knows? And last but not least, on the AEW note, strong, heavy rumor is they will have a weekly episodic TV slot in October 2019. Tentative, not confirmed, but guys, things are moving fast for AEW. You gotta be excited.
I'm gonna add one more thing. The other people that are gonna be appearing on the show and possibly using a contract is Aya Kong, Yuka Sakazaki, Kylie Rose, Sammy Guevara, Sunny Kiss, and The Best Friends, who I know nothing about, most of those people, but I'm excited to learn about them.
We'll get Cody Rhodes will be wrestling a mystery opponent that we don't know of yet. So
who is?
Should be interesting. Cody Rhodes. He'll be nice. Yeah, it's they have the poster already. It's blurred out on the right side. You have Cody on the left. Not sure. He just had surgery. He'll be fine by May, but it's gonna be interesting to see how things shape up. We're also gonna get Hangman Page versus Pac. And that's gonna be a great match too. So
Pac's fucking promo is sick, man. The way he says bastards. So good. Anyways.
So, folks, lots happening in the AEW. Not as much happening on the road to WrestleMania. This should be the time where they pick up momentum and make stories happen. Get us invested. You know, I know it's been hard these past few weeks, guys. Hang in there. Elimination Chamber is going to be a lot of fun. Talkamania is going to be there. Full press coverage. Make sure to check us out. We will be tweeting out the link. So will they. Make sure to give them the follow. Call in. Be part of it. And it's going to be off the hook.
And as always, guys, follow us on Twitter at _TalkMania. Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, TheChairShot.com, FullPressCoverage.com, TheDailySmart.com, BlogTalkRadio.com, BodySlam.net. Check out our partners, World Wrestling Manager at WWE Manager Game. And like Dez mentioned, this Sunday, 5:30 Eastern, Full Press Radio. We're doing a collaboration with FPC _ Wrestling, 5:30 Elimination Chamber pre-show. Buy some merch, guys. ProWrestlingTees.com/Talkmania. And if you want to check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Talkmania. J-Bomb's out. Dez, say bye.
Have a happy Rusev Day, Talkmaniacs. Hoo-ah!